I'm the Reverend Graham Taylor for Minutes for Christ, and it's great to be back with you again. Now, I have a really great quote for you for today. It's this: the book which the reader has before him, or her, is a progress from evil to good, from injustice to justice, from falsehood to truth, from night to day, from appetite to conscience, from corruption to life, from hell to heaven, from nothingness to God. The starting point is matter, the destination the soul, the hider at the beginning, the angel at the end. Well, you could think the writer was talking about the Bible, but in fact he was talking about a novel from his own pen. That was the words of the French author Victor Hugo, writing about his epic work Les Miserables. Incidentally, it's nearly 3,000 pages long. However, what better illustration that more modern and secular stories could act as a bridge between God and humans in a similar, if lesser, way to Scripture? So we're going to look at how this early 19th century work, as depicted by the long-running musical, can help us bridge this gap by way of three biblical reflections. And the first lesson is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for I must stay at your house tonight." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be a guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Les Miserables musical is really the story of a French peasant called Jean Valjean. The plot starts when he is released after serving 19 years in jail for stealing a loaf of bread for his sister's starving child. Valjean decides to break his parole and to restart his life, but he can't find work, and one night he seeks the shelter of a bishop. But in the night, he makes off with a household silver. But when he is brought back by the night watch, the bishop says that the loot was not stolen, but a gift. This tremendous act of mercy inspires Valjean to turn his life around to live for God. The result is he changes his identity and becomes eventually the wealthy mayor of a small French town. He also adopts an abused orphaned waif called Cosette. But a police inspector named Javert refuses to let him escape justice and pursues him for most of the play. Along the way, Valjean is swept into a revolutionary period in France, where a group of young idealists attempt to overthrow the government at a street barricade in Paris. One of the students falls in love with Cosette. The scene is therefore set for a tissue box full of tears at the finale. Well, while it seems that Valjean was not in Zacchaeus' league in terms of larceny, our lesson illustrates a point. It's a fact, a key fact, that is often overlooked, even suppressed by some preachers. For scholars will tell us that John the Baptist came for the transformation of your average Joe or Josephine soap. More bluntly, the mixed up beings which we tend to be. Jesus, on the other hand, came to redeem the genuinely bad guys. Zacchaeus was certainly making a mint from his duties and was clearly in significant disrepute. Here was just the type of person Christ was on a mission for. And as we saw, Jesus found him, pulled him out of the mire, and set his feet towards virtue. Valjean too had a fresh start by the behaviour, the example, if you will, of the generous bishop. And here is a potential calling for us. For the ensuring that those who are lost do get the opportunity to re-find God is one aspect of the church. The rehabilitation of offenders is the work of many who profess their Christian faith. The finding of room for forgiveness in our hearts also needs to be our constant struggle. For that is our common Christian way to anyone who wishes to come in from the cold and return to the community of Christ's love, guidance and hope. We move on now to our second Bible lesson. It comes in the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 53, and runs through to chapter 8, verse 11. Then each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him and sat down and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now, what do you have to say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, do not sin again." First a prison guard and then a police inspector, Javert's personality is defined by his legalistic tendency and a lack of empathy for criminals of all forms. In our story, he becomes obsessed with the pursuit and punishment of Jean Valjean and for his violation of parole. Javert then firmly believes in the justice of the law and has no room for mercy. Now, the fictional Javert reminds me of a very real figure from French history. For while that nation lauds its revolution, one of its leaders gets the cold shoulder. That was the brutal tyrant Maximilien Robespierre. Indeed, there's no national monument to him, unlike many of the other revolutionaries, because Robespierre is still considered beyond the pale. Only one rather shabby metro station in a poor suburb of Paris bears his name. Yet a recent biography of him was called A Fatal Purity. The reason being, the reign of terror he instigated was rooted deep in his sense of the righteousness of his cause. There is something of Javert or Robespierre in the men trying the women that day in our Bible passage. We can imagine them puffing themselves up with indignation, determined to see justice, however rough, done even if that meant death. Jesus, on the other hand, saw in the person before him just an ordinary being, human being caught up in the messiness of life. He saw a human being in need, not of condemnation but mercy. He saw a lost soul needing the grace of God. That godly vision may be our calling as well today, with regard to someone close to us or just in the news. Perhaps there has never been a greater need to be merchants of gracious wisdom and gracious verdicts. How this can be hard, indeed very hard. How then might we accomplish this personal revolution? Now, anyone who has seen the Les Mis show will know that most of the action takes place on a turntable. But the most memorable scene does not appear to use it much, and it is the demise of Javert, since by then Valjean has saved him from the revolutionary mob, when he was acting as a spy and agent provocateur. The inspector could not face a future when he was in debt to one he considered unredeemable. So he jumps from a bridge into the Seine. However, this is staged very dramatically, not by him falling. Instead, the bridge goes rapidly upwards as he remains static in the whirling light effect until darkness swallows him on the stage floor. Here then is perhaps how Jesus thought at that early morning kangaroo court. Simply, he put himself in the woman's shoes. He allowed himself to be moved relative to her. He found a new and surprising way of depicting the apparently hopeless scene. And as a result, he left the redeemed lost in the light and not in the dark. We come now to our final Bible passage. It's in the Gospel of Matthew at chapter 18, verses 1 to 7. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung round his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come." Our last character from Victor Hugo's saga is Cosette. She is the daughter of Fantine, a working woman, who leaves her child to be looked after by the Thénardiers, who exploit and victimise her. She is then rescued by Jean Valjean, who raises the girl as if she was his own. In adulthood, she falls in love with Marius, a young lawyer and revolutionary. Valjean struggles to protect her, but in the end recognises that he must allow her romantic attachment to Marius to blossom. And here I must introduce a spoiler. Cosette marries Marius at the end of the musical. But Cosette reminds us why we do need to aid those who wish to change their ways to do so. She reminds why we must struggle to see things differently for one who is in trouble. She reminds us why we must help Christ in his mission to the lost. For often there are vulnerable people, especially children, involved. Put directly, there are no less Cosettes around today as there have been in history past. It seems then, from our last Bible reading, that Jesus had a burning concern for children. Did Zacchaeus have children who were ostracised because of their father's misdeeds? Most probably. Did the woman on trial have children about to lose their mother? Again, most probably. And in each case, Christ looked beyond the immediate and saw the wider, more demanding picture. He saw the potential price of heartless judgment. He saw not just the lost, but those forced to accompany them on their bleak journey. He then said, "I am here for you, for I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am indeed the doorway to life reborn and life refreshed." As a result, he would have empathised with Victor Hugo, who once wrote of Les Miserables this: "I don't know whether it will be read by everyone. It's meant for everyone. It addresses Britain as well as Spain, Italy as well as France, Germany as well as Ireland, the republics that harbour slaves as well as empires that have serfs. Social problems go beyond boundaries. Humankind's wounds, those huge sores that litter the world, do not stop at the blue and red lines drawn in maps. Wherever men go in ignorance or despair, wherever women sell themselves for bread, wherever children lack a book to learn from, or a warm hearth. Les Miserables knocks at the door and says, "Open up, I am here for you." Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, remind us Christ came into the world for the lost. Today, whether that's us, or someone we know, or someone we know of, let Christ come into life and refresh that life and let it have a fresh start. Amen. Well, once again our time together has come to an end, but until we meet again, may God go with you, and his Spirit be your blessing, and his Son your constant companion. Amen.